All right, what's going well? It's your boy Pete Walsh, a.k.a. Lamborghini Petey, making sure my levels are good, a.k.a. I'll be damned if my diamonds ain't blue.
You all right over there?
Nah, I'm bugging. Episode 34 of the Respect the Game podcast, the Paul Pierce episode.
Shaq episode.
Oh, we did the Shaq at 32, so I had to switch it up. Oh, the J.R. Ryder episode. Shouts to J.R. Ryder, Dipset alum. Here with my boy Abe Schwadron, per usual. What's good, Abe?
Yep, a.k.a. Abraham Lincoln Bio, back in the building. Excited.
Excited. Excitement is an understatement. Your mans and them just left the NBA office. Had the distinct pleasure of interviewing George Gervin in the flesh today.
Shout out to everyone at the NBA office.
Yeah.
Hospitality.
Yeah, of course. And George was...
Sorry we were so underdressed.
I'm looking like I just rolled out of bed, rolled up to the NBA office. But hey, you know, this is just how we roll. But George, super cool. I mean, guy's nickname is the Iceman. What do you expect?
Really might be my new all-time favorite player. It's one of those things like you know how good someone was or how cool they were, but then you meet. It's kind of like when you go to a concert and you're like, yeah, like I like this rapper or this band or whatever, and then you hear it live and you're like, oh my God, I got to go back and listen to every song ever, my new favorite artist. So that's how I feel about having just spoken with George Gervin. Like I'm going to go back and watch every highlight tape, every YouTube, look up all the stats. Does he have a book? I need to read it.
He must. But the,
I need to write it, actually.
Yeah, facts. Big fact. But the
big fact.
The thing is, like, you know, people give polite laughs during these interviews often, but George Gervin had the heartiest chuckle, like such a genuine, nice guy. So really enjoyed that. We'll get to that later. He's doing some work with the NBA right now, picking his all-star teams for the early returns of the all-star votes.
Shocker, he did not pick Zaza Pachulia.
No, he did not.
Starting fives.
So, you know, let's just talk about that real quick. Early returns for the all-star voting. You know, a lot's going to change over the next, what is it, 5-6 weeks until all-star weekend. But, you know, and the big thing that stuck out to Abe and I, outside of Zaza, which has probably just been done to death on Twitter already and the internet, was that one of either Harden, Westbrook, or Steph Curry isn't going to be starting for the West in the All-Star game. And those are probably the three of the five MVP candidates right now, I'd say. Maybe three of the seven.
Yeah, I mean, at worst, that's like three of the best seven players in the NBA, depending on your particulars.
So, and then, like, it got us thinking how quickly and how fast the NBA changes and how things, like, I hate to be like time flies by, but
it really does though, man. Look at Giannis all of a sudden. I mean, you know, 18 months ago, there's no way you could have predicted the way that he's shot up into the conversation to possibly be a starter. Now, obviously, as you've pointed out already, you know, the early returns are just that, early returns. Mm-hmm. And not to mention the fact that the NBA has completely altered the way that this voting is actually going to work.
Yeah, which I don't fully understand how it works, but, I mean, I'm with it.
I mean, shout out to Ryan Nelson, another one of the senior editors here who broke down the math for me yesterday and took me like a child step by step through the algorithm of how this is going to be decided. It actually kind of makes sense to me now. But, yeah, I mean, okay, Zaza's not going to be starting in the All-Star game.
I mean, he'll be lucky if he makes it.
I mean, I hate to be a conspiracy guy, and this is probably...
Shout out to Eric Diefendorf.
This is probably the wrong podcast to bring this up, considering that we're about to go very helpful. You know,
just lay it out, man.
I just think that the NBA would step in a situation like that, and, you know, there would be some... This math would work out somehow, even if Zaza got the most votes in the NBA, he would somehow not be starting in the All-Star game. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
We'll leave it at that. I mean, other takeaways from the voting.
John
Wall, way too low. Where's Kyle Lowry? Where was Chris Paul high up there? Or no, I don't even remember now. I don't have it in front of me.
That's another one that's so, you know, he was such a lock for
And that's who
starting.
We were talking about, like, a couple of years ago, like, Westbrook, Harden, and Curry were, you know, not well behind, but behind Chris Paul when it came to, you know, best point guard
Chris,
in the West.
Chris Paul and Kobe were basically
starting backcourt every year. So, I don't know, the changeover in the NBA is so, it happened so suddenly. I mean, we look up, LeBron's already 32 years old. It's crazy.
I wonder how many Kobe Bryant write-in votes there were this year.
Yeah.
Like above or there below Zaza.
To be at least like 100K, right? Minimum?
I mean, I would think so.
Man. So maybe Kobe comes back just for All-Star.
In all seriousness, how many people do you think logged on to vote for the All-Stars and were like looking around for Kobe? And we're like, why can't I find Kobe?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Anyway, getting into the other big news that broke yesterday, Kyle Korver pending a third team that will take Mike Dunleavy is heading to the Cavs. Big news, you know, Kyle Korver, one of the best three-point shooters in the league.
Really in league history.
In league history, Abe was just looking at his stats. What was it, like 50?
54% in 2010. That's completely absurd.
How's it even possible?
It means you're making it more than you're missing. I mean,
yeah. So wow. Kyle Korver on his way to Cleveland, we think. We're by the end of today, we should know for sure, today being Friday. I don't know.
Before we even get into that, doesn't this suck for Mike Dunleavy?
Yeah. I mean, there's like, no way he's winding up in a situation where like he's happy, right?
I mean, Kyle Korver is Mike Dunleavy, but way better.
I don't even – yeah, I mean
– Both in basketball skills and – I mean, he's just like a – he's like the same guy, but like better-looking white shooter.
Okay.
Better skills.
Well
– he just got completely – he just took his spot.
Got to stay healthy, man. Got to stay healthy.
I guess so.
But I don't know. Like people – I mean, I guess people are penciling in the Cavs to go to the finals already before the season even started. But yeah. Now everyone's – like, oh, it's a sure thing. Kyle Korver changes the whole thing. Abe and I were looking at the stats. You know, 35 years old. He's averaging, what, like 9 points a game this season? So, yeah, you know, it definitely helps them, but I'm not looking at it like...
I mean, he's still shooting 40% from three.
Yeah, but, you know, and he's obviously going to get a lot of open threes.
Yeah, that was the other stat that was floating around. He's shooting, like, close to 50% on, quote-unquote, open, wide-open three-pointers.
Look, it's a good move for Cleveland, but, you know, let's pump the brakes a little bit. This is Kyle Korver we're talking about. This isn't, you know, I can't even think of someone like... This isn't Jimmy Butler going to the Cavs
right,
and,
exactly.
Like, solidifying them as the true
also,
you know, team to beat out there.
I mean, one kind of take I was seeing out there a little bit on Twitter just when this, you know, trade was first breaking, a couple of people, you know, were going with the whole, well, why would Atlanta like help Cleveland this way? It's like, number one, it's just Kyle Korver. It's not
right.
Like they traded them Dennis Schroeder and right. Paul Millsap and like handed them a title.
Or like Bazemore
right?
is one of the young pieces.
But
yeah.
Also, it's like, you know, these other teams in the East, they're – I mean, I kind of give Atlanta some credit. They're kind of preparing for sort of life after LeBron. Like, they're setting themselves up. Their pieces, you know, they get rid of Jeff Teague and they make Dennis Schroeder their, you know, their starting point guard. That's a move for the future. Like, they're kind of looking out at the landscape like, all right, yes, we're over 500. We're going to be in the playoffs, but – just like keeping these bit pieces, like I just have some respect for like the foresight
and getting them while they still have value, or trading them while they still have value.
Right now, obviously, those moves have to pay off, and you have to make the right ones. And I have no idea if this one is going to pay off or not. But I at least have respect for them looking at their team and saying we're not going to win a championship. Whereas there's many, many other teams around the league that would keep a core together for way too long, and all of a sudden you've wasted near a decade with a core that's just never going to cut it.
Yeah,
on
I mean,
a championship level.
Like, it kind of makes the Dwight signing look bad, I guess, in retrospect. But you know, you gotta shoot your shot when you have the opportunity.
Somehow it's Dwight's fault, I guess.
Nah, I'm not blaming Dwight for nothing. But I wonder what 2 Chainz thinks about the whole thing. More importantly,
funny you bring up 2 Chainz
as I pivot into my my next point. So we dropped our cover last week, right? It was right before Christmas. Slam 205, the music issue.
It's actually on sale today, so by the time you hear this,
fire. I didn't even know that.
Officially on newsstands everywhere, and should have an online buy link for you as well. So
please buy that.
Abe is
so hungry; he needs his money. But Dame, I mean, it was pretty obvious. Well, not obvious, but it was the correct choice to put Dame Lillard on the cover.
Dame Dollar.
He just dropped his album. It's probably one of the best basketball players slash rappers that we've ever seen. So, you know, the whole thing made a lot of sense. There's, I mean, the basketball world and music world have been interlocked for, you know, pretty much forever. I mean, well, not forever, not going back to James Naismith. I wonder if James Naismith is good at ball, though. Shouts to Chips. That's a conversation for another day.
I mean, certainly since the origins of Slam.
Slam, yes, 100%. That's what I was trying to say, since the birth of Slam. So we got a lot of cool stuff in here. I did a story on Chris Webber, his beat-making career. I interviewed Shaq. We did a piece on Dave East, who's a rapper from Harlem who played college ball and some big-time AAU
played
ball.
Played high school ball in Silver Spring, that's Maryland. Right. Shout out to Springbrook.
Ronnie Cicely.
DJ Ronnie Cicely. DJ Ronnie Cicely.
Jaylen Brown, who makes beats, wrote his college essay about Kanye West. We got a little excerpt from that in the issue. Chris Posh, who's a huge guitar player. Andrew Wiggins talking about Canada's rap scene, what he listens to. So a lot of really cool stuff.
Don't forget Wallway Pack.
Of course, John Wall's cousin.
Nephew
Wallway Pack, who's a rapper out of North Carolina, who he basically did his first interview ever with.
And mixtape on the way as well.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it was like, I'm not going to say it was always fun working on this issue, because when you're chasing rappers, you have to, it's not like chasing an NBA player who's, you're talking to like a legit PR person. They're actually going to sit them down and they have like schedules. You're chasing rappers who might call you at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Or might not call you at all
and just completely flake out on you, which was the case for an unnamed rapper and myself. But moving on from that, Abe went out to Portland, did the cover shoot, got to meet Dame and his whole crew. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about the trip and the story itself?
Yeah, man. So, you know, this idea was many months in the making, obviously. And, you know, to Damian's credit, I think he was a little bit hesitant to agree to do this cover, not because he didn't want to do it, just because of the timing and it being during the season. And, you know, he's always been very, very conscious of, you know, separating the basketball from the music. Look, like, basketball is his number one priority by far. It's his profession. It puts his all into it. The music stuff for him is just essentially like a hobby to fill some free time. I mean, look, NBA players have tons of free time that they could be doing dumb stuff, and he decides to devote nearly all of his free time to, you know, his passion for music. So I think he was a little hesitant to do it during the season, but all things considered, you know, we decided on all accounts that it was a good idea. So, you know, we went out there, Atiba Jefferson shot the cover, and we had a chance to sit down with Dame, sit down with Brookfield Deuce and Danny from Sobrani, his first two artists on Front Page Music, of which Dame is the CEO, the new label. So yeah, it was a good time, man, and hopefully everyone has checked out the video we did with Dame. You know, he kind of breaks down everything I was just talking about his aspirations in music, but also keeping that separate from his hoop stuff. But, you know, he really wants to take this music stuff seriously, and I think, as he's mentioned, you know, he mentioned the cover story, he also mentioned the video that we put out already, he probably is going to take this in the direction of being more of, like, the label head and less so being a rapper. I mean, I'm sure he will continue to put out music. He's promised to do that. Mm-hmm. But more than likely, he's going to sort of move into, you know, just being a guy that manages artists and, you know, is the CEO of his label.
Yeah. And I mean, it also, the cover dropped at kind of an interesting time in Dame's basketball world as well. You know, he's been injured. The Blazers haven't been playing great. They're under 500. Caught a lot of heat this week, but, you know, to credit Dame, like, he's manned up. He said that, you know, we're gonna turn this thing around. He's not throwing blame anyone's way. So I still think they're in the hunt to make the playoffs, and it's gonna work out well.
I think they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at
talent wins out eventually.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of look at the tiers in the West, and to me, there's really eight teams that, those are the playoff teams, mm-hmm. and I think Portland will end up in that. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're going through a tough stretch right now. Obviously, it has absolutely nothing to do with our cover.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at their schedule, too, and, like, they're about to come east. They got the Sixers coming up. They got a few bottom feeders. So plenty of time to get back on track, get back to 500.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's pretty clear, like, being out there and being at the Blazers practice facility and mm-hmm. Around those guys and around Dame, you know, even like 2 years ago, he wasn't necessarily the true leader of that team, and now it's like he runs the entire building. So, yeah. You know, that was one interesting thing, is that he's really, you know, made this leap to being one of the 10 or 12 guys in the league that are, you know, the super, super franchise players for the teams that are really going to be relevant for years to come, and he basically runs the show out there in Portland.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not ruling out them making a move either the end of this trade season coming up. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad we got the music issue off the ground. This thing was in talks for a couple months. Shout out Adam Figman, who didn't let the dream die and opens the way for, you know, the next cover, which is probably going to be who? Lecrae and Dwight Howard?
Something like that, but yeah. No, not that. No, yeah, it's cool. It's like, you know, we could do multiple books about the intersections of music and basketball. They're really endless. So, some, you know, all the ideas that were on the cutting room floor of this issue, hopefully we'll get many of them.
So many.
We'll get many of those into the second time we do this, likely in the summer of 2017. Summer's a little easier time to, you know, get these guys in different cities and their home cities, and some of the rappers may be a little more available as well to do some crossover stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think the music issue is a exciting franchise that we kind of started here, and hopefully we'll keep it rolling in 2017.
Word. Well, yo, let's get into this George Gervin interview.
Yes, please.
The God himself, nothing else to be said. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please find, rate, subscribe, iTunes, Audio Boom, the whole nine. You know, we're really trying to make this thing pop. We've been getting good feedback from everybody, so... You know, we got a couple guests coming through the office next week, scheduled to come by. You know, you never know until they actually show up. but we're looking forward to it, man. We're excited about where this the whole direction of Slam is heading, period.
Sometimes we got to go to them in the case of Iceman.
Facts. So. And we're willing to travel, man. But, you know, we'll be back next week and most weeks thereafter. Peace.
Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jada.
All right. Pete Walsh and Abe Squadron here with the Respect the Game podcast, Slam Magazine. Fortunate enough to take the show on the road this week. We're over at the NBA offices. Thank you to Michael Chavez for hooking us up. Abe, how you feeling, man? A little out of our comfort zone, but I'm feeling good.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. If this all goes well, hopefully we'll be back and keep taking the show on the road.
Yeah, so probably our most special guest to date thus far. We have one of the 50 greatest players of all time.
Yeah, we did just see the ring for that. So,
well, I think that was for the 50th anniversary, the NBA 50 ring. But by my estimation, one of the 50 greatest players of all time. And that's the Iceman, George Gervin. Mr. Gervin, thank you so much for joining us.
Very good, man. Good to be here, guys. Good to be in New York City.
Good. So George is here doing a bunch of interviews for the All-Star voting presented by Verizon. So, you know, right off the bat, let's just get right to it. You know, the votes came out. The early returns came out yesterday. Had some pretty surprising names up there with Giannis and Zaza Pachulia. Things will obviously change going forward. A lot of regulars like Durant, LeBron, et cetera, Kyrie. So, George, why don't you just, you know, real quick, give us your thoughts on the All-Star voting process, how it's changed the last year, and then give us your five starters for each conference.
Well, I mean... You know, I didn't see some of the early voting and stuff, man. And, you know, a few people may have some issues with, you know, how it's being displayed right now. But not me. I mean, because it's the fans voting. I mean, and they have a right to vote for whoever they want. I mean, like you say, it's still early. But, you know, to see somebody, taking the lead right now, you know, people have a few questions about it, but I mean that's what make it fun, you know. Now for me, for my voting, you know, I kind of got my picks. I'll start with the East first, and I'll go with front court. So East, LeBron James. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go with the kid that I like, man, and I think play a little bit like me. What's his name? Giannis?
Giannis.
Antetokounmpo.
Oh, man.
Have fun with that last
time. Giannis is good enough for today.
Yeah, well, Giannis. I mean, I like Giannis.
The Greek freak.
Man, he could play, though, man. I mean, he's young. I mean, his potential is scary. And then, you know, I think Kevin Love is playing real well. You know, that's I'm thinking he deserving it. And then when you get down to the guards, maybe a surprise to a lot of people, I think Isaiah Thomas is playing some
out of his mind.
Playing some good basketball, man. And then, you know, you got to kind of go with Kyrie. You know what I mean? I don't think Cleveland can win it without him.
So, well, obviously, I mean, well, hold on. Being in New York, the Knicks fans are not going to be happy with that. No Melo. So you like Kevin Love and Giannis over Melo?
I like Melo. I mean, but, yeah, I do. I mean, I think both of them guys may have showed up. I mean, Melo's been around a while. You know, it's not taking anything from him, but, you know, it's time for some new blood, man. I mean, you know, we're still looking at the future of this game, man, and them two guys, man, are showing me that they're going to be around a while and they're going to be have an impact on, you know, on the game.
Yeah. So what about the West then?
So then I look at the West. Let's go with the guards. James Harden.
Got to be.
Russell Westbrook.
Got to be.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, both of them guys just playing lights out. I mean, once James became a point guard, it changed his game tremendously. I mean, and then the type of coach that he have is a run-and-gun style coach, man. It just really just opened his game up, man. And he's doing some things that probably none of us thought he can do. I mean, so that's, to me, it's good. And then, you know, Russell. He's proven to everybody, man, that he's always been a all-star.
Yeah, running out of words to describe how he's playing this year.
Oh, man. I mean, you know what I mean? But he played hard all the time anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he's got a little bit more under control now. You know, I mean, it's his team now. I mean, he's not really sharing it with anybody. I mean, not saying he likes to share it anyway, but he's triple-doubling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's a good pick for
me. You know what's amazing, though? And having said that, and we, you know, all three of us agreeing that those guys are the top two, but then that means you're leaving off Steph Curry.
You ain't leaving him off.
Back-to-back MVP.
Hey, you're not leaving him off. They leaving him off. Let's be for real here, man. Steph's not playing like these guys. We're not saying Steph is not as effective as he used to be.
Right, it's just the other two are so good.
Man, I mean, and they winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, sometimes you got to make sacrifices. I mean, and you got to give Steph a lot of credit, man. He's making the sacrifice to make that team better. I mean, you brought in a guy like Kevin Durant, man. Come on, man. Kevin Durant leading them in scoring, leading them in rebounding. I mean, so, you know, Steph took a step back, you know what I mean? So I compliment him, you know, for that.
I think it's amazing that one of those three guys that we just mentioned will not be starting in the All-Star game. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, you know, you could play a six of them. I mean, if you want to start something, you know. I mean,
all right, so what about your front court for the West?
Well, front court, man, obviously Kevin Durant.
Yep.
You know, my man, Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spurs.
You know, and this probably would be an odd pick for y'all, man, for me, man, DeMarcus Cousins.
It's not odd at all, man. We love Boogie.
Man, he could just flat out play the game, man. I mean, he just played, man. I mean, you know, I mean, he got a little knock on him. I mean, but, you know, that's the way it goes. But basketball, he got to be one of the best playing today.
I feel like you would be a fan of his, too, because he's like an entertainer. Like, he knows why he's out there.
I mean, and he can do everything.
Yeah.
He can shoot the ball. I mean, you know, they didn't give him room now to shoot the three. You know, he got an inside presence. And then, you know, he come to play every night. I mean, you know, he get texts and all that, but he's into the game. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're emotional into the game like that, you know, sometimes it kind of takes you over. He's one of them kind of guys.
Yeah. So, George, we want to ask you a couple questions about your own experience in the All-Star game. You know, 12-time All-Star, 9 times in the NBA, 3 times in the ABA. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were the leading vote-getter in 1980, right?
I know I was 1 year or 2 years, you know. You know, I'm a product of this fan voting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was the all-time, you know, I mean, I got more votes than anybody else. How many I got, I don't remember. But, man, that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
just to know you're beloved by all the fans.
That's a great feeling, man. And you know, I would tell these guys today, man, don't take it for granted, man. And you know, because everybody don't like to play an All-Star game. It ain't about playing an All-Star game, man. It's being appreciated, man, for the first half of the season that you had, and people appreciate you. I think that's bigger than playing in a game, man. And that's helped growing our game, man. Is the fan participation, man. So I like how the system is set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of the guys say even now, like, you know, just the game is almost secondary to being around the other guys the whole weekend and being with the fans and just sort of, like you said, like celebrating the first half of the year.
That's, you know, that's, man, it's a fun time, man. I mean, we go all the way back when I played in that, you know, in the ABA. I mean, there was times, man, that you know, I mean, and we play hard against each other. You know, we wanted to beat each other. I mean, and, you know, it's more entertainment. Yeah. Now, I think that's where it should be. You know, it's more of a entertaining piece, you know, versus we play hard and stuff because, you know, the winner got $5,000 and the loser got $2,500, so we wanted to get that $5,000.
Well, how have you kind of seen that change as far as, like, for like when you watch the All-Star games now, and there's been a couple All-Star games that either weren't close at all or just kind of got, is, you know, it's a glorified dunk contest by the end. Is that, for some of the older guys like yourself from previous generations, is that, I don't know, like frustrating or disappointing, or that's just kind of the evolution of the game now?
Hey, there you go. That's the right word. That's the evolution of the game. I mean, because we sit back and say, he would have been on the floor if he tried to dunk on me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I ain't letting the world see you dunk on me. I mean, so it's changed, man. I mean, and I accept it. I mean, it was played one way back in the 70s and 80s, and now in the 90s and the 2000s, it's played another way. I mean, the game is still popular. The game is still have grown tremendously, man, since I played. Just think, man, in the playoffs, man, our games was tape delayed.
Yeah.
Now it being seen all over the world live. Mm-hmm. I mean, so for me to see how the game has grown over all these years, man, and I'm still relevant, come on, man. I applaud the NBA, man, and where it's grown, and, you know, and how they handling their brand, man. You know, these guys holding up real well, man. You know, I still love to see them.
Not to mention that if you get dunked on now, the highlight is replayed hundreds, yeah, thousands, million plays on YouTube. You get dunked on in 1980 at the All-Star game. I was might not even see that.
I was thinking about this. I was watching some of George's highlights prepping for this interview. And, I mean, like, some of the finger rolls you did were almost from the free throw line pretty much. And I was just thinking, if you were around in the social media era, Twitter era, like, no one else is doing that these days. So, I mean, do you feel like, and not necessarily came along too late, but, you know, had you been part of this social media era, do you think, I mean, you were the leading vote getter in 1980, but even bigger than you were?
Probably. I mean, you know, I don't think like that no more and mm-hmm. stuff, man, because it can't be. What I think and appreciate, man, is that I'm still relevant. Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, you was able to go on YouTube and see some of the things that I was able to do. You didn't see them live, but, you know, they still got vehicles and machines that can kind of give you highlights of the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's satisfying for me, man. You know, people always ask, man, have you been playing today, man, where you could score, man? How much do you think you'll be worth? Wow. I mean,
a lot.
More than $5,000 for a lot. The All-Star game. I know that.
I mean, you know, that's why I say, wow. I mean, you know, I'll let a lot of the other people have that, you know, make that suggestion, man. But again, man, I love the game, man. And man, look what I am a part of to where this game has grown today, man. And I'm still in it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still in the front office with the Spurs. I mean, you know, I still do stuff for the NBA. You know, I'm still relevant. I mean, you know, you're still talking about me. He's still talking about the finger roll. I mean, mm-hmm. pretty much, you know, I'm doing things to where the young generation is kind of seeing who the Iceman is. So I'm one of the guys that appreciate, man, the opportunities I still have. And it is from, you know, being in the NBA.
When you come up against, you know, guys that are in the league now, when you interact with them, you know, either with the Spurs or other events and stuff, and you get to see some of the current superstars. What are their reactions to you? Like you said, you know, you're still relevant. They definitely know who you are. So kind of what things do they say to you? What are those interactions like now?
They're respectful, man, because, you know, a lot of the guys that's playing now, they dads and stuff I played against. So, you know, they dads straightened them out. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you think you done done stuff, you must don't know who Ice is. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, for me, it's great. I mean, you know, but the guys have always been very respectful. You know, some know me and some don't, you know. I don't think a lot of the younger kids today, you know a lot about the history of the game, but that's in school and everywhere else. You know, our babies just don't study history, and I wish they did, man, because, you know, without guys like us, they may not have the opportunity that they have today, and, you know, but that's on them, you know. I think it helped ground them when they know the history and they see a guy like me and don't just walk past me. You know, they acknowledge it and show that they're thankful, man, for guys like us. I mean, I wish a lot of the guys would do that more often, man, because some of these older guys need it, man, because don't nobody like to be forgotten.
Yeah. There guys in particular in the NBA now that, you know, have really reached out to you and you guys have a good relationship?
Well, you know, one of my little buddies is Tobias Harris.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he's a New
local
Yorker.
Kid.
Yeah.
You know him well.
I've been knowing him since he was a baby, his dad, Terrell. I mean, I've been working with him for years, working on his fundamentals. And, you know, he's one of my little guys and stuff, man. So, you know, I'm proud to have them kind of relationship with the guys, man. You know, it's a few more guys, man, that, you know, are very respectful and you know, may reach out, you know, to me for, you know, certain things. And that's where it should be, man. I don't want nothing from none of them. All I want them to do, if I'm able to have an impact on their game and their life, is just to pass it on to the next guy, man. That's because, you know, Ice all right.
Mm-hmm. I actually got a question about that to follow up. After Klay Thompson, quote-unquote, broke your single – quarter scoring record, he had a 37, you had 33.
No three-point line.
No three-point line. But did Klay reach out to you at
all?
Yes,
he did, yeah. Man. I mean, it was just spectacular, man. I'm such a fan of him, man, not only as a basketball player but as a human being, man, because I saw him in New York, you know, because the All-Star game, my fact, was here in New York. Yep. And he came up to me and said, "Miss Gervin, I ain't break your record." I said, "Hey, young fella, man, hey, man, you was perfect, man." I mean, he didn't miss that game.
He was unreal.
Oh, man, he was incredible, man. So, you know, yeah, he broke my record, man. I mean, if that's what y'all want to say.
Hey, I put the quote-unquote on it.
No, I heard it.
We know. All right, so speaking of that, you know, a guy breaking your record like that, you kind of mentioned it before with Giannis, but it sounds like from previous things you've said and stuff, there isn't really maybe someone that compares to your game, maybe except for Giannis. What are sort of the, I don't know, if you had to take pieces from different guys' game in the NBA right now that you can kind of see like one trait or some characteristic that stands out and reminds you of yourself, are there there? Do those exist?
I mean, you know, because how I play, man, I think I play different, man. I mean, I don't see guys throwing left-hand hooks and right-hand hooks and, you know, finger rolling and, you know, I mean, I shot 51% career, man. I mean, so, and I got 26,000 points or more, man. So, I just don't see it. And it definitely ain't no knock against nobody because everybody is their own individual. But Kevin Durant, you know, cause he's tall and skinny and he can shoot the ball. But, you know, he don't score like me and I ain't score like him. So, I don't really see, you know, anybody out there, man, that scored like I did. I mean, and, you know, it ain't like I'm bragging or nothing, man.
No,
I
but
mean,
you did score 53 and a half, which is insane.
At 63 at 33 minutes. Which, I mean, those
right,
are,
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, I, you know. I
couldn't believe that when I saw that.
But I love the game, y'all. I mean, so it was easy. You know, I mean, it was easy, man. I mean, but, you know, the beautiful part about it, I did it when I had to. You know what I mean? Because David Thompson scored 73, and I needed 59. Hey, y'all, when I got 59, I told my trainer said, "You got 59, Ice?" I said, "Well, let me stand there a little bit longer, man, just to get a couple of more just in case they miscalculated."
So just from doing research, you know, after you left Eastern Michigan, you went and played in the CBA, then the ABA, then the NBA, and then overseas. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember any other player playing in four different leagues like that. I mean, I probably have to
certainly not
research.
At that high of a level.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you spoke to the evolution of the game earlier. So, like, all those experiences, you know, do you think you have such a more unique, you know, history compared to, I'm not going to say any other player, but most players in the league?
I think I got a good story, man. I mean, because, you know, when I left school, you know, I left and went and joined the CBA. I was playing on weekends, and I was averaging 38. And for some reason, Johnny Red Kerr was at the game when I got 50. Johnny Red Kerr called Earl Foreman, who was the owner of the Virginia Squires, told him, you know, you ought to take a look at this guy. They flew me in. You know, I shot 25 out of 33s. He signed me up, and that's how my career began. So I was in the right place at the right time with the right guy looking who knew somebody, and it gave me my opportunity. So I was real thankful, man, to have that.
I just had one last question for you. I know we got to let you go, but and you may not be aware of this, but there's a group of kids in New York and the surrounding area now they call themselves Jelly Fam, and their new thing is they're basically bringing back the finger roll. You got to, in order to be in this crew of great high school players, you got to finger roll three times in a game in a certain showy manner.
No.
So yeah, it's coming back, man.
Bringing it back, man.
And they should look to you as the OG of that. So
tell them I love them, man. I love it, man.
You definitely will. All right, George, man, the Iceman, aka professional bucket getter, George Gervin. We appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much. You know you got a long day ahead of you.
Hey guys, thank you very much.